there. This is Kate McClanahan, and this is the Sound Advice Podcast. This is Kate McClanahan, and as my guest, I have
Cassie DePaiva.
DePaiva, like a diva. From Days of Our Lives fame, of course, as well as One Life to Live, General Hospital, Guiding Light, you name it. You have a huge, huge
Had a career as a daytime chickapoo, so yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Now, here's what's funny. Now, we do voiceover, obviously, and this is not just for voiceover. Sure. This is all about actors and what have you. And certainly, that's not only the skill set to do daytime drama, I think, is extraordinary. I think it's really tough to do. The hours are very unusual. The scripts, do you have to do like 20 pages in a day and that sort of thing? Or?
Well, the days vary based on your storyline and the scripts and how much we are doing in a day. Mm-hmm. Back in the day when I first started my career in like in 1987 in daytime, I was on Guiding Light, we did one show a day. We had lots of rehearsal, and the day began pretty much the same time that it starts now, but it ended much, much later because we did bigger events. And as the years have gone by, the 80s, big time in, you know, soap opera history. That's when Luke and Laura got married, big events, people were watching.
Yeah.
And then since then, there has been, a certain decline, but the production values, I think, have gone up because the audience is demanding more excitement.
Yeah.
And because of that, your days were even longer. Now we are pulling it, reining it in because there are less soaps on the air.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, production companies want to make more money. So they're, you know, we're squeezing more episodes a day in or a week in. We're doing eight shows a week.
Wow.
So we can have time off.
And you are one of the go-to. You are really, I mean, aside from Susan Lucci, I'd say you probably the most recognizable, or certainly in the top 2%.
Kate,
not kidding.
You're being just.
No, I'm not. Eve Donovan and everybody. I mean, you have a huge fan base. People love you.
But I have I have probably more recognition from One Life to Live, where I played Blair for 20 years. But it's what's so special about soap operas are that unique fan base that we have. We have people that have tuned in. You know, they have watched me have children. They've watched me fight with Todd. They, oh my gosh, there's so much going on. And they, you know, they know my real life based on soap opera magazines that specifically just cover what we do.
Wow.
And, you know, they're people that can probably count the pores on my face because they know it by heart. So it's a really unique genre.
Yeah.
Does it take a specific skill?
Yeah.
I think you have to really like that pace and that energy, and it happens to suit my personality just fine.
And I'll tell you what, I think, seriously, I think that the degree of difficulty for that type of work is extremely high. And also, the other thing that you do, and I want to make sure we comment on, is, and we talked about this, we went out to dinner and we were talking about this, and I said, oh my gosh, how do you do this? I think it was for the Emmys that you were about to present at the Emmys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I would break out in hives if I had to do something like that, just simply because it's so live. I mean, really, like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, when they do the Golden Globes, I mean, it is so extraordinary what they do. And that's why, you know, like most stars, they'll try and do a little sketch and they'll go, I'm not rehearsed. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're making millions of dollars. Please don't say that. Don't say it. We haven't rehearsed at all. And I'm thinking, okay, that's why it's falling apart. You know, come on.
Well, I think people.
It's hard to do.
Nerves take over, and actors. We want to put our best self out there, no matter what. So to defend those actors that go, oh, I haven't rehearsed, is that, you know, we come with disclaimers. So they put and that's just our own insecurities. We put a disclaimer out so people won't judge us. But you know, you have the other half of that coin that gets out there and just wings it unrehearsed and can pull it off. And then there are other people that are just because you're an actor doesn't mean that you're really comfortable
in
on
genre.
The fly.
And in every genre.
Yeah. I mean, we learn our lines and become a hide behind a character or develop a character. But some people just are not comfortable, you know, just being a regular Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, probably the fact that you can relate to that. I think that's what makes your characters so relatable and well, what have you, too, even
I
though your character...
I love people, though, and I've always been a people person.
Yeah.
This character that I play now is so far removed from my basic personality. Yeah. The only thing that's similar is our bra size and shoe size, you know. But it's a challenge to play her.
Yeah.
But I just find it fascinating because I've met people like her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I can put those shoes on, but that's not comfortable. And my mom is still waiting. I was talking to her on the phone the other day. She goes, Cassie, I have so many friends that want to watch, but I just tell them I can't. She won't.
No, you are.
She's waiting for my character to find Jesus, I think. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I love that. Well, that's darling, because it's like, yeah, you know, no, but I think that's the thing about actors in general.
It's like we either play totally into type or completely the opposite. It's the opposite of who you are. That character is a complete polar opposite of who you actually
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. Whereas the character of Blair was... She was bad for good reasons, and I could so... She's much more relatable for me.
Yeah.
And I think playing that character for 20 years really taught me how to be a stronger woman.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
Wow.
So, you know, you spend... the crazy thing about soaps, I think, is that you spend probably more time in your life being this alter ego
yeah.
than you do in your real life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy. I think if you were to do a psychological... study on soap opera actors that
yeah.
have done this genre for
yeah.
so long, you kind of go, okay, who are they? You know, because we speak in first person.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of crazy.
Wow. I love
you know?
That. Now, I've got a question for you. You know what ADR is, of course, automated
yes.
dialogue replacement.
Yes.
We use it a lot, looping, also known as looping. We see it a lot out here. We see it for film. You see it for television.
And they'll replace sound, like if the sound wasn't recorded correctly at the set at the time or anything. Do you guys do any of that?
Very, very rarely do we go into a sound booth at the studio. On set, there are usually 2 to 3 booms. On this show,
no lavaliers.
No, this show in particular, we don't wear IFBs or any type of lavaliers.
What's an IFB?
IFB is a sound thing that goes into your ear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I play a singer, and I played a singer on all 3 shows, and they'll put a little earbud in your ear so I can hear the music and sing live to that,
wow.
which that's to me is always difficult.
Yeah, I find that really.
One Life to Live, yeah. we used RF microphones,
wow.
and because when the sets were deeper and stuff, but this show is just pretty much on a budget, and
yeah.
they run at light speed.
Wow.
And it's kind of crazy, but
that's
yeah,
good.
But the sound is, you know, it is what it
is.
It
sounds great. Actually, the sound is really for.
I'll tell you what is it? George Lucas had said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. Sound is more than half the picture.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because you'll forgive poor lighting, you'll forgive kind of a grainy quality or something that's inadvertently grainy. You know, not purposefully. You'll handle a lot of things. You'll take a lot of things in as a listener viewer, or particularly as a viewer, you'll go, oh, I can accept that, I can accept that. But bad sound, you're going to turn it off.
Yeah.
So if the sound is not great, you know, you were saying to me beforehand when we were talking about, you know, just different styles of forms of acting, and I'm just saying, my God, the fact that you can do presenting, you do presenting really, really well. I mean, I'm telling you what, this is really difficult to do, and to make it seem natural and easy and all that kind of stuff. I mean, not just, you
I
did soap talk, you did
singing.
Daytime.
I think that comes from my music.
You think it comes from singing?
I believe because I was,
wow.
You know, I'm used to being out on stage,
yeah.
kind of just flying by the seat of my pants with
wow.
just a microphone, and I've been on, you know, when we used to do these big Super Soap weekends down in
yeah.
down in Orlando, I mean, I've been up there when the CD's gone out or my singing partner is not there. You know, you just have to wing it. And,
yeah.
you know, I think for me, when we fall short of everybody else's ideals of what it,
yeah,
something
yeah.
should be,
yeah.
we become human. And, I don't have anything to apologize for.
Right.
So if I mess up, I mess up. So,
yeah.
and I can't be perfect, and I don't claim to be. So, you know, sometimes those, when you make mistakes, that's when you learn the
most,
and that's when you're most funny. You know?
I totally agree. And also, I think it's most human. It's definitely. Absolutely. But it is where all discovery falls, especially for talent. You know, it's like we always invite that stuff into it. Well, in terms of voiceover, because I mean, Sound Advice is, we do primarily voiceover.
At it.
You do not.
I am
suck
terrible
at voiceover.
You know what it is? I'm not a great reader. So when I get in the sound booth and I'm looking down and I go, oh my gosh, what is that word? I have a little bit of dyslexia.
Oh.
So that has really been, you know, I can memorize. I 60 pages of dialogue in a night and have it like that. But if I had to read a paragraph for Ford or whatever, it's like,
You know, it's so funny. The whole thing with the onset of dyslexia and all this jazz, we all have it. I mean, I think we all have it to some extent. I don't think that none of us, and especially if we're over 40 and we're women, I'm sorry, but we do. We have it. You know what I mean? There's something to it, you know? Here's the thing. You don't have to take the whole page in all at once. I think that's part of it. It's just taking it bite by bite rather than trying to eat the elephant whole, you know. But in terms of voiceover, it's so funny that you should say that. I mean, I hear so many actors say, I stink at improv. And they're phenomenal actors. And it's like, you don't stink at improv. Oh, they shirk away from it. You know,
it's those disclaimers.
It's the disclaimers that we give ourselves. We do give ourselves those things.
Absolutely. And I do find that it is difficult. And I think it's because it scares me.
I got a question for you. Here's the thing. You have a you're from Morgansfield, Kentucky.
Morgan Field.
I'm sorry.
It's
I apologize. Okay. And what's beautiful about that is you have this lovely dialect. And I'm asked all the time. As a voiceover coach, I'm asked all the time, well, you know, I'm British, and do you think I should sound American? If you can sound like an American, authentically wonderful. But I'm a big fan of being who you are and from where you are and all this kind of stuff. Now, this has not hurt your career. I think it has more to do with how you carry yourself. I'm sure it's probably a lot more neutralized, that your dialect, than it ever has been. But you probably haven't been... No one's probably gone, hey, you know what? You really should lose that dialect or anything.
It has absolutely been.
That's probably why you say, I'm bad at voiceover, because that probably has come into the mix. Because I think a lot of people try and stick people's, you know, actors' attention on, oh, no, you're supposed to sound like this, and I'm voice beautiful, and all this kind of crap. You need to be who you are. It hasn't hurt Holly Hunter any.
No.
Hasn't hurt Tommy Lee Jones any. You know, and I'm telling you, my viewpoint on it is this. Everyone has a dialect. Yes, the American dialect is kind of becoming more and more neutralized than ever before. It used to be called the Midland dialect. That was what an American sounded like to an American. And this was back, like, I'm talking the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, right? And they call any linguist will tell you it's called the Midland dialect. From Omaha to Chicago dialect is what they call it. And now, I've lived in Chicago for 25 years, and I'm telling you what.
I can tell.
It's like the Southsiders, guys. Now, when I lived in Chicago.
Well, not that heavy, but I do.
No,
I do hear a little of your.
Oh, sure. And I'll go, gad. You know, I'll do the lateral stretch thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm also from Detroit originally. You know what I mean? So, and that's, you know, that kind of the lateral, you know, and it kind of goes nasal, and it also goes, we smile when we talk. For farmers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all that Midwest stuff, you know, even though I'm from the city. But it's like, but it's funny, everybody's got a dialect. Everyone has a dialect. And it doesn't really matter unless it's one single word or something that's blaring and it seems to be sticking out, I think. But you have it, you sound like you're from Kentucky, and it's lovely and it's gorgeous. And I don't stick my attention on it, and I don't think you do either. You're just going, I just sound like I sound. And it's how you carry yourself. Would you agree? I mean, at what point did you not worry about it? Is there a point where you just went, the heck with it, and I'm working, I don't care?
Well, all the parts that I've played have not been Southern girls. And I think it...
So do you change your dialect?
On the show, I don't sound as country as I do in real life.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know, if you play drunk or... play angry. I mean, some of those words, some things come out. And there are certain words that are very, like, I remember one time on The Guiding Light back when I started when I was 25, but I remember the thing was insurance. And in Kentucky, you say insurance. Here you say insurance.
Insurance.
And I'm going, well, I got my insurance. I mean, it's where you put the
accent
on certain words. And that's so, it's very... regional specific.
Yeah.
And that I find that to always to be kind of crazy. But as far as me having my, I am what I am, but I also find in an audition process, it, you know, I, when I meet a casting director, I have found in my past that I almost have to come in non-regional. Yes, because they immediately go, oh, shit, she's Southern, you know.
Wow, yeah.
You know, I can't.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit. And, yeah, there's something to that with you're right, with CDs, that's probably true, you know. And with talent agents, too, you know. If you're first meeting and greeting an agent, you know, and that sort of thing, they want to know that you can be neutral,
right?
You know. So, all right, so maybe I'm backpedaling here, you know, because maybe, you know, and I get that, but sometimes, I don't know, there's the Rosie Perez's, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the woman won a Golden Globe, not for nothing. If you ever saw the movie Fearless, it was Peter Weir, he did Dead Poets Society, he did Green Card, mm-hmm. he did Fearless, and it was with Jeff Bridges. Rosie Perez is extraordinary in this film. I mean, amazing in this film. It's a real tearjerker, though, so right. Just so you know. But she is who she is, you know, and it's
very specific.
It's very specific, very specific. Yeah, and it's like, but again, I think when it comes to a dialect, if you are so steeped in a dialect, mm-hmm. and like you said, you don't necessarily play that all the time, you don't play it for your characters. Did Blair have a bit of country to her? Or?
No. You know, I mean, I say no, but I could have probably my co-stars. Are you kidding? You sound, you know.
Yeah, but it's not up to your co-stars. It's your audience. You know, and the audience probably just see this as part of you. This is what I'm saying, you know.
After they meet me in person, they go, oh, my gosh, you have such a heavy accent. You don't sound like that on the show. And I said,
they also say, oh, you're so tiny in real life, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, that's a TV screen, you know. And the movie screen, and you know, I mean, those are different, you know, and it's like, and it's really right. Perspective is different, but it's so funny because, I mean, who is it? There's a number of actors where you first meet them and you go, gosh, I never noticed the dialect that they had before until you start talking to them and you kind of go, oh, they have a bit of a dialect. Oh, that's interesting. And that's me with my Chicago too, you know,
funny. You
for
know,
that matter.
Most people say, oh, you have an accent, but the difference, accents are, it's from a different backstory. Country, but a dialect is within your own
good point.
Country.
Good point.
So
that's true. That's right.
Right.
Well, good. I like that you say that. That's exactly it. The other thing I wanted to ask you too. This is just good stuff to talk about because I think it's stuff that I think a lot of actors think about in it. Whatever strata, it doesn't matter how experienced or how new to the genre they may be. You know, in terms of voiceover. I think all of the same things apply to any form of acting. I think acting is acting is acting, but there's a handful of things you need to know in each genre, you know, mm-hmm. and to get your performance across. And like you said, you know, the pace of doing daytime drama is not like any other form of acting that
it's improvisational theater. I mean, it's a one-time wonder. Worked with an actor yesterday, was a day player. And, you know, I just feel the need to always say, have you done this before?
Yeah.
This is kind of what we do. If you go up on your line, just stay right there. They will pick it up.
Right.
You know, don't.
That's voiceover too.
And I try to help people.
That's film and television. Yeah. If you have a hiccup, do a pickup is what I always say. You leave a little break. And then they just pick it up.
And I also said, you know what? Everybody messes up, but everybody wants you to be great.
Yes.
You're here. You have the part.
Right.
And when you walk into, even when you walk into the casting office, the casting director wants you to be that person.
They do.
And that's something I think it's hard. I think auditioning is so hard. I feel like I suck at that as well.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things, you know, it really brings out all my insecurities.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, am I going to fit? Am I going to be what they need me to be?
Right.
I mean, I I'm already thinking I'm going to spend the check. How I'm going to spend the check. And then, you know, you never end up getting the part.
Well, no, but you know. Nobody likes the auditioning process. I don't care who you are.
Some people say they love it.
They're only good at auditioning and they're no good with follow through. Because, I mean, I remember early on in my career going, well, that guy's great. And then we hire him. He was great in the audition. I've seen him audition before, and he's terrific in the audition. We finally hire him. He's only good in auditioning.
Isn't that crazy?
It's awful. It's what bums me out. And I kind of go, oh, God, because you want him to be terrific. You do. You absolutely want him to be spectacular. And also because you like the person.
Right.
You know, it's like, come on, you know. But, you know, a lot of talent, I think,
think once they get the job, then someone's going to micromanage them too, you know, once they're on the gig. You know,
well, that's one thing in soap operas that you really don't. You have a little bit of direction, but you better come in with your guns loaded. You have to have character development. Even when you're cast in a new role, you sign a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
You know, you probably know 10% of what you're going to be.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, you better create and make it exciting and find create your own backstory,
right,
if you don't have something, because otherwise you're just being as bland as possible, right, and bland is boring, and people aren't going to tune in to watch.
Right.
In improv, there's this lovely adage, you know, it's yes and, right? It's the basic, mm-hmm, most basic concept of any scene
and
to
no
go forward.
No but does not work.
No but does not work. Okay? We don't need your butt, okay?
Yeah.
We just, no buts, just yes and.
Yeah.
And a lot of actors will come into a session and they'll do this thing where they'll go, or, you know, they'll do an audition and that kind of thing, and you'll see them later and they go, well, I did everything I was told to do. Yeah, and nothing more. The and part is you know?
Right.
Yes, you agreed with the reality post. Yes, you read the lines. Yes, you were sufficient, and nothing more. Yeah,
I
it's
think
this weird
improvisational acting and improvisational challenges within a class is the best thing an actor can do for all aspects of their
career,
work,
yeah,
and in their life. You learn so much because you see your blockage, where you block yourself, and especially if you're a negative person, it's going to be hard for you to do improv.
You know, although I did Second City in Improv Olympic.
Oh, yeah.
I came up the line with, you know, the big guns, really, you know, and it's so funny because there was some really negative people there. And they still keep going. I mean, like Energizer Bunnies, but they were young and impressionable, I'm sure, you know. But, you know, it's interesting when you look at the different coasts, when you look at New York compared to LA, when you look at Chicago versus, you know, and all the different genres as well. No, I love the whole improv thing. I think this is really cool because it's like improv is absolutely imperative. I'm a big fan of it. I always say my formal training was improvisation, you know.
It's wonderful.
It's killer.
I had more of it.
I had crazy amounts of it, and I actually incorporated it into our training when it comes to voiceover because it's like, why do you need to know about improv? But our voiceover training, though, is really about acting training. It's like how do you transition your performance from one medium to another, because a lot of talent will kind of compartmentalize all this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I can only do daytime drama and improv, nothing else. And I'm sure there are guys who do this. And we do specialize as actors. I mean, we do. Or I can only do commercial voiceover, or I can only do animation, or I can only do narration, or I can only do announce, or I can only do, you know, whatever it might be. I only do film. It's crazy to think of it. I remember seeing Kevin Spacey on Inside the Actor's Studio,
mm-hmm,
and James Lipton asked him, he said, you're doing Iceman Cometh on Broadway. And he goes, yes, I am. So you do quite a bit of theater. Yes, I do a lot of theater. And he goes, wow, it's fantastic. And you just finished doing whatever film he had done at the time, I forget. And I remember his demo at the time. He had a voiceover demo that was only 8 seconds long. It's changed since, but at the time it was only Microsoft. Anxious about e-business? Don't be. Microsoft. And it was so mellifluous and so easy and so, it was gorgeous. Gorgeous. 8 seconds and it was just like, oh my God, I love that. That's butter on toast. It was just beautiful. And so James Lipton says to him, he says, do you think you have to act differently for film and for stage? And here I'd been coaching. I'm thinking, please say no. Please say no. He goes, no, acting is acting. I was like, yes, thank you. Handful of things you need to know for each medium, but just a small handful.
I always say it doesn't matter what kind of implement you put in front of me, whether it's a video camera or a film camera.
Yeah.
You know, it is the key, I think, to being successful is being honest and listening. Because acting is just reacting.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why you're so successful at what you do, my friend. That's why you're so successful. It's exactly it. Because you're very good at that. But you're good in life at that. You're really good in life at that.
It's true. I just popped out with people skills.
Yeah.
My family is very, very social.
Yeah.
I lived a happy childhood.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I've had a great, great life. I've had wonderful people around me that have been encouraging. I mean, I've gone through hard times, and you know, I'm 53 years old, but I just, you know, it's all been good.
Yeah.
But I kind of wake up looking for the good. And,
yeah.
and
yeah.
I just thank the good Lord that I have that kind of spirit.
Yeah.
Because I think I was just born with it. And I know that there are some people that wake up every day that just
are miserable
they people.
They are. I think you're right.
And it's just, or paranoid or whatever their issue is.
They torture themselves.
And I just, as the older I get, the more I just can't be around that anymore.
Yeah. It's, well, okay. So that brings me to, which is, okay, maybe this dovetails, New York compared to Los Angeles. Uh-huh. Now you, where do you shoot most of your daytime drama? You do most of this, I mean, like even back in the day when you did General Hospital.
Okay, I can tell you, crazy it was. I was out here, I went to UCLA, and, you know, went on a USO tour and never went back to UCLA. In the middle of my junior year, I dropped out and sang in a band.
Wow.
Then I came off of that tour with Bobby Womack, toured two tours with him. Came off of that and said, okay, it's time to get serious with the acting.
Yeah.
And so I did this little horror film called Evil Dead 2.
Which is phenomenal.
Which is a cult, it's a cult classic.
Yeah, fantastic.
So after that, 6 weeks later, I auditioned for The Guiding Light, which is a New York soap. And I thought, oh my gosh, is this the right thing to do? I just started.
Yeah.
Possibly things, good things were happening.
Right.
You know, I was getting callbacks for little bitty films and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I opted to do it. I did it for 4.5 years in New York.
Yeah.
The whole time thinking, as soon as this contract's up, I'm moving back to Los Angeles. So in that time, I got married, my first time.
Yeah.
And I was on that show for 4.5 years and said, okay, we moved back here to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
between 91 and 93.
Okay.
My marriage kind of fell apart. And I started thinking, okay, maybe I need to go back and do soaps. And so I'd done a couple of little episodic stuff in that interim. But once again, I was cast for a New York soap, One Life to Live, out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So I do that for 20 years. Praise God. Great time.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You know, I met my real life husband. I had a family. I mean, life was good.
Yeah.
One Life to Live was canceled by ABC. We did a little Prospect Park rendition of it for the internet, which was fine and fun. And then I also did episodes of General Hospital, which came out here and they put me up and did whatever.
Right.
But here we go. I get a call offering me a part in Los Angeles while I'm living in New York. So
4 days.
Yes. This is really the first time I have been a full-time employee in Los Angeles. I've waited tables. I've done, you know, music and done whatever, but I've never really worked full time as an actor here.
Wow.
So I've been a New York actor, really.
Yeah.
But I've auditioned out here. So it's kind of crazy. And I just, and I'm not one of these people that wake up every day and go, okay, today or next year I want to be doing this at this time.
Yeah.
I kind of live by faith and I am very spirit-filled, and I know that I am in the hand, you know, I'm in God's hand, and He has led me and taken me places that I never dreamed of.
Yeah.
And I just try to be faithful to that.
Thank God. That's fantastic. Because now in New York,
I'm dovetailing back to the New York compared to L.A.
Reference. Very different city.
Very different places.
Yeah.
And very, but you'll never hear someone from Los Angeles say, God, I hate New York. Do you? I never hear anybody say that, but I hear New Yorkers go, ugh, hate L.A. A lot, and they do this in Chicago, too. It's like, ugh, how can you stand? Oh, Los Angeles, blah. And it's like, I used to be like, oh, I'm never going to live out there. I'm not going to live out there. I like Four Seasons and all this. You don't get Four Seasons in Chicago. I'm sorry. You get 8 months of winter, and you get 2 months, yeah, I swear to God, you get 2 months of spring, 2 months of fall. And that's it. And really the summer that you get, I should say two months of summer, 3 months of summer, and 1 month of fall. That's really what it is. There it is.
You're asking the ultimate optimist the question here.
Yeah.
It's literally apples and oranges, two different types of fruit, and it all depends on what you want to bite into.
I love them both.
Absolutely. I think that there are upsides to New York.
Chicago's
fantastic. Nashville is great. I mean, and Atlanta's got so much production going on, and down in New Orleans area's got so much production.
Yeah.
It's just, be grateful where you are and put your roots down where you are, and you will be happy where you are.
Yeah. And because wherever you go, there you are.
That's right. And you just never know what the next call is gonna, where you're gonna get it. Yeah. Now, granted, I live in a very isolated 1950s bubble out here in Los Angeles. I live in the Toluca Lake area, which is a mile from my work. I love it. But I kind of live a New York existence. I rarely go into West Hollywood where there's traffic.
I rarely get
on the freeways where it's crazy.
I'll go to Glendale sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I go, you know, do my Home Goods shopping and do whatever like that. But so I don't, thank the good Lord, I'm not out hitting the pavement.
Right.
I think, but I can remember the day when we used to have a Thomas guide in our car before GPS.
Oh my gosh.
And,
you know,
you'd have three auditions a day, commercial auditions, where you'd be in a bikini in one, and then you'd be a housewife in another, or, you know, it's like, and you had this map that you had to go through and go, oh my gosh, how do you get there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so much easier now, but even still, if you're planning on getting somewhere and thinking it's going to be 15 minutes, you better allow for an hour and a half here.
And
that's a little crazy.
Right. Depends on the day.
But New York can be the same thing. The subway could go down. I'm a big subway girl.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, it's, New York has its convenience, but you might be caught in a rainstorm.
See, well, and yeah, and the thing in terms of New York, too, I mean, you stay in your hood.
Mm-hmm.
You stay, there's like a 3 or 4 block, maybe a 5 block, if you're lucky, radius that you just stay in that section, you know? Chicago, you're pretty much all over the place. I mean, I'd have to say Chicago is...
New York, though,
you go all over the place. And you drive or you take the L or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's every which way to Sunday you get there. It depends on what... Is there a big event happening? Like, is it the Blues Fest or whatever? That's Chicago, you know? And we're right in the middle of it. We're right in the Fine Arts Building, which is right on Michigan Avenue, overlooking Grant Park, which is, I mean, it is extraordinary. We're a block and a half south of the Art Institute. It is just, and it is one of the most remarkable buildings, I mean, you could possibly be in. It's just extraordinary. We're so lucky to be there. I'm so pleased that we have that place. And Jeff Finney, who runs our shop in Chicago, he's amazing. And Travis, you know, and these guys are amazing, and they're so fun, and the place, it makes it so cool. It's got such a vibe to it, but we have a vibe here, you know?
You do.
Doesn't
You've got
it?
A great little setup.
I'm telling you what, everyone who comes in here, they just go, what the heck's going on with it? What is this? There's something funky. It's kind of a real cool, it really is very positive. The main thing is having a space where you feel safe and building that comfort zone and that safety for yourself. And you really have to create it for yourself. You are an artist, and I think you do have to create that for yourself and find your center. Yeah, I totally am.
You can't see through this microphone, but if you could, Kate has set up a beautiful space for herself. It feels beautiful in here, and I'm sure you make magic.
The thing is, this way people can do that.
Sure.
Because it is nerve-wracking when you're first kind of bearing your soul and you're getting in there and you're going, okay, this is the work of it, you know, when we coach and what have you, or when we create a demo, you know, when we're producing a track, and it's really about, you know, we're trying to build a career here, you know, or to forward a career or expand a career, you know. And I mean, you're always doing that. If you're creating a future for yourself on a regular basis, I think that is, and whether it be just even the day ahead and a week ahead, a month ahead, you do have to look at these things. You do have to give yourself targets and things. Did you know that you would, what were your goals when you first started out? What were you shooting for? Do you recall?
I told you, I'm not goal-oriented. I don't even make New Year's resolutions because after the second day, I'm going to forget it. I can't do it. I don't. I just kind of told you, live by faith. I mean, but I work really hard, and I don't like to sit still at all.
Yeah.
Yesterday I painted a picture. I love to paint.
Yeah.
I like to garden. I like to cook.
These.
Oh, fantastic. You did?
I did.
I paint, too. Oh, my gosh. We'll have a lot to... Oh,
me
too.
Oh, I know. We totally should.
I have to have a creative outlet.
Yeah, me too. Me too, always.
Or I will go crazy.
Yeah, me too. I know.
It brings me joy.
Absolutely. And and you know what? It shows, man. It really, really shows. Because it's fun to be around you, you know? Seriously, you're fun to be to hang with. No, but you're cool. And it's like, you know, and the thing is that, and like the folks that we do, you know, converse with and hang with, I mean, they're just real. And it's so much easier to deal with, especially in this industry. You know, I mean, there's enough. I don't think guys who are like fakers or...
I'm sure they make it. I mean, I'm sure some of them do. They've got enough tenacity, I suppose, for themselves, and they've got some kind of work ethic. You know, I suppose some of those guys actually continue on, and some of them succeed. But I don't know many people who are really successful, really, or what I would deem as really successful, who are jerks. Do you?
I mean, I think people, you know, I don't know a lot. I mean, I know a lot of successful soap opera people.
Yeah.
And they're very, soap opera people, I would say 95% of them are very, very real. They're probably 5% that believe their own BS. But I think you find that in any industry. But, you know,
any industry,
actors, it takes a lot. I think some of the most broken human beings maybe are the most interesting actors.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think some people, you know, and they might get bad raps, but I think, you know, you have to go to some dark places.
Mm-hmm. I think you just have to, I don't think you have to be broken yourself, though, to go there. I think you have to empathize. Yeah. I think you have to have a real, to be a strong writer, to be a strong director, to be a strong actor, I think you really have to have a really observant eye.
I think you
and this is the listening that you were talking about.
I think
you got to be smart enough to pay attention, you know. But you also have to, you know, it's right out of To Kill a Mockingbird. And it's like, well, you know, Scout. And it's like, you know, until you walked, you know, a mile in the guy's shoes, you don't get it.
Right.
You have to actually, the beauty of being an actor, I think, is the fact that we get to empathize. We get to actually take that point of view on and really, really live through that viewpoint and understand it.
But you have to have the ability to have, you have to have the intuition. Some people don't have it.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think some of the better actors could be a little hypersensitive.
Okay.
Because they're able to take it all in. I'm not saying Meryl Streep
so
is messed up,
no,
but
so
by any stretch. But
no, they're
so
vulnerable. You know, it's just making yourself that vulnerable.
Sure.
Allowing yourself to be that vulnerable. That's probably. It's interesting. No, I love it. Now, when we're done with this, I'm going to ask you, like, who are you talking about? No, I'm just kidding. But this is great. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
and I think you're probably phenomenal at voiceover, and I'm dying to see it because we're going to have to play. But this was great. Thank you so much, Cassie.
DePaiva, like DePaiva saliva.
Like Godiva. It's Cassie DePaiva, who plays, of course, Eve Donovan on Days of Our Lives, was in Evil Dead 2. Blair Kramer in not only One Life to Live, but also General Hospital. And on Guiding Light back in the day, Chelsea Reardon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had one thing to ask you. Filming right now, you're doing Hail to the Deadites?
No, I'm not doing this. Does it
you're not.
I am?
It does on IMDb.
I wish I were doing. I think that has something to do with Evil Dead 2. I wish that I was doing it. Hint, hint, nod, nod, wink, wink. But no.
I was going to say, it's a documentary, though.
Oh, well, then I have done, yes, that is on the new Blu-ray of Evil Dead 2.
Oh.
It is definitely, that's an added bonus on that DVD package.
Really?
But I did We Are What We Are, which is another
pseudo-horror
film that was out, I want to say, a year and a half ago.
I tried to write a bunch down, and I was like, la, la, la.
Yeah.
I have two last questions, I swear to God. Courtney and Kim Take New York. You were on Courtney and Kim Take New York?
Well, actually, Courtney was on One Life to Live. Therefore, Cassie got to be on Courtney and Kim.
Wow.
But Courtney came on and played a soap opera just a day and had a part on it. And she was actually very nice and was very conscientious. People could wish she'd like, she was very conscientious.
Nice.
And she really cared about putting her best self. I mean, she knew her lines. She was,
she did her homework.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I don't think they're, you know what, for as well off as those guys have, I mean, seem to be, I don't know. Do we have any of us really know? The thing is, they're hard workers, you know, those guys, the Kardashians, that whole crop. But anyway, it's kind of cool that you did this thing. Now, my question is, were there two crews on the set?
Yes.
There's at the same time?
Yes.
Was that awkward?
No, I mean, we have B-roll footage for all kinds of when,
background.
ET comes, or a lot of people come when we do. So that happens. So they just, you know, send out a flyer and say, okay,
be aware.
And, you know, you got to do your work anyway. So you just see them in the peripheral, and then they'll, you know, maybe down in the dressing rooms they did stuff. And,
right.
you know, for all of you all who think that reality TV is real, it is so not. Okay, it is so not.
That's really where I didn't want to coax it out of you, but that's what I was after. And the other thing, and I mentioned about the presenting. Mm-hmm. I can't get over your presenting. This was great, but thank you so much for joining us. This was great. So this has been the Sound of Ice podcast with Cassie DePaiva. I said it right?
You did.
With Cassie DePaiva. Our favorite. Thank you so much for coming and joining us, and this was fun. And we're going to have to play some voiceover stuff with you because I think you'll enjoy it. You never know.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, my darling. This is Kate McClanahan, and this has been the Sound Advice Podcast. To find out more about voiceover and our process, check out voiceoverinfo.com.